Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you here. You know, this Sunday is just as much a Sunday of celebration and thanksgiving as last Sunday on Easter. Amen?
Amen.
Every Sunday is built on Easter, but today is going to be a good day in God's house. I'm glad you are here. We have a very, very special person with us today, and that is Nellie Richards. We are going to celebrate her 100th birthday today after worship service. Now, I feel certain that we will sing to her over in the social hall today, but I think we need to open our service with a happy birthday to her this morning. Are you ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nellie. Happy birthday to you. She gave us a standing ovation. Did you see that? That's good singing. And all are welcome after worship service today to her party in the social hall, which is going to begin right after we close worship today. So if you can make your way over to the social hall, please do that. And let's celebrate her 100th birthday today. When is the actual date? Is it today? It is today. Today is the day. Wow, that's wonderful. I'm glad we get to celebrate that with her. I hope you're here to celebrate mine, too. Yes, sir, Ken.
She was born in the morning, but she doesn't know the time.
Say that one more time now.
She was born in the morning, but she doesn't know the time.
Oh, doesn't know the time. Well, she is...
born up in that small county in Highland County.
If she was born in the morning, she is officially 100 years old right now. So praise God, and here we are. All right. In the way of a couple of other announcements, want to thank everyone who was involved in coming to Easter services last week. It was a beautiful, beautiful Sunday, beginning with sunrise service and breakfast and Sunday school and worship. What a great day, and we thank you for supporting that. So glad that you're here on the Sunday after Easter, because we know it's all built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Also, do be reminded that Pastor Glenn is going to be kicking off a grief support group this coming Thursday. Glenn, that's right, this Thursday, 10 o'clock in the morning in the fellowship hall. Of course, this is open to anyone in the church who has been through a grief or a loss and you need a little support in that. It's healthy and good to be together in moments like that. And also, this is an outreach from the church. So if you know of someone in your life who is struggling, who's gone through a loss in their life, and they would benefit from this grief support group, I know Pastor Glenn would welcome them in with open arms, as well as folks from the church. So please do let folks know that that group is beginning this coming Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning, led by Pastor Glenn. Also, a great campaign, and Gwen and I have participated in this campaign for many years, the Baby Bottle Campaign for the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center. I love that ministry. It's based in Lynchburg. It is a Christian-based organization that when young couples or young women come in and they've gotten the cart before the horse and there's a pregnancy, whatever might be happening there to bring that about, the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center ministers to them and also counsels them to keep that baby. So it's a great, great ministry, and you can contribute to that by filling up a baby bottle with your change or however you'd like to do that. It's going to begin next Sunday, April 23rd, and run a month through May 21st. So get ready to get your baby bottle and go through your couch and get all the change out and whatever you need to do, but fill that baby bottle up. And also, one last thing is Vacation Bible School coming up very soon, June 11th through 15th. And so be sure that you get prepared for Bible school, and thanks to all who have volunteered to help in Bible school. I'm sure there are still some areas that could use some help. All areas could use some help. So we need you to plug in. If you can come and help, if it's a night or two, whatever you can give that week or the entire week, please do let us know, and we'd be glad to plug you in to be a part of Vacation Bible School as well as be a student at Bible school. This is going to be a great day. Oh, one more thing. 4 o'clock today, Pastor Search Committee is meeting. So if you're on Pastor Search Committee, Stan, the chairman, is calling the meeting together at 4 o'clock this afternoon. With that being said, we are ready to worship. Amen?
Amen.
We are grateful to be in God's house. So let's say this together. This is the day.
This is the day.
the Lord hath made.
We will rejoice
and be glad in it.
Let's
pray together. Father God, thank you that we do rejoice to be in your house. Lord, last week on Easter Sunday, we rejoiced in the great news of Jesus' resurrection. We do not have a Savior who simply died on the cross. How important that is. There had to be a death on the cross before there could be a resurrection from the grave. But we thank you for your death on the cross that gives us forgiveness of sin. But Father, we thank you that you do not remain in the grave, but as a risen Savior, the risen Lord, we thank you, Father, that you offer forgiveness and life to every person who will come to you and surrender to you and trust our lives to you in faith. So, Father, thank you for the gathering of brothers and sisters as we meet together today. We have visitors here today, and every person is welcome in God's house, and we thank you, Lord, for every person today. We thank you in a special way for Miss Nellie, Lord, and thank you for her 100 years of life, what she has seen over those years, Lord, and the way she's been a minister and a helper in the ministry of this church, Lord. We thank you for the blessing of having her here today, Lord, and celebrating her 100th birthday with her. But thank you, Lord, that we are grateful for every person who is in God's house this morning. And also today, Father, we know that we're going to have those who are joining us. And we just pray, Father, that you bless those who join us by media. We just ask, Father, that in every way, whoever hears, whoever participates in this worship service will celebrate the good news of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, and we thank you that we worship you today in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this morning, hymn 365, Close to Thee. Next hymn this morning is 399, Higher Ground.
Lord, lift me up.
Okay. So, Jeremy, are we live right now? All right. So, we're live on stream this very moment. This is the first day of being live on stream. So, that is wonderful. And so, you all can spread that word that folks who want to join the worship service in real time, you can do that. What's the access? Is it on YouTube or Facebook? Where is it live? Facebook Live, so you can access it on Facebook Live. That's a wonderful thing. Today is the first venture, and so we want to thank the guys in the media booth back there for getting that happening today. We come to the Lord together in prayer this morning, and as we pray, we thank God for all the joys, all the blessings, for good health, for being able to get up and see the world today and come to church and have a day before us. We're thankful for every day. And the older I get, the more I realize we need to be thankful for every single day of life that He gives to us. We also want to bring prayer concerns, and I know you bring your own prayer concerns, your needs to the Lord this morning. One that was mentioned to me, and she's been a dear friend of mine for many years, she and her husband and daughter, Pam Thomas. Her husband's name is Jay, daughter's name is Christina, and they call her Chrissy. She is in college now. As far as I know, she's still there in college. But Pam is having a really, really hard health struggle. She's in UVA at this moment in intensive care. And so if you would, just lift up Pam Thomas, a sweet lady. I did her daddy's funeral some years ago, Demers Coffee. And so we want to pray for...
Mike, they went here.
Oh, they came here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Coffees were here. She grew up in this church.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm glad you told me that, Kenley. I wasn't sure of that, but I'm glad to hear that you will be lifting her up because you know her so well. So lift up Pam. She is in UVA, not doing well, I understand, this morning. Oh, that's her brother?
Mother.
Her mother.
Mary Coffee.
In the Summit. So we need to remember Miss Coffee too. I know that there are many others that we need to remember today as you bring your own prayer concerns. So let's go to the Lord together. I'll give you some moments that you just come before the Lord in a personal prayer, and then I'll join us together. Lord God, as we come before you today, we thank you. We thank you for the Sunday after Easter. We thank you, Father, that every time we meet as a church, every ministry that we conduct, every outreach, every touch on a life is because of Easter. Thank you, Lord, that we have a Savior who loves us so dearly that he went to the cross and laid down his life, shedding his blood and literally dying there that we would not have to die in our sin. We thank you, Father, that you laid aside your comforts that we might have the comfort of forgiveness. But also, Lord, we thank you that we do not worship a dead Savior today, but on the third day, Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Savior, rose from the grave to life eternal. And we thank you, Lord, that when we are forgiven of our sin, we're also promised life, life that is to be lived here with purpose on this earth. Every day that we wake up, every day that we open our eyes, every day that you give us is a day that we can live the purpose of Jesus Christ in our life. I pray, Father, that you will instill in our hearts and our mind that every day has a reason to be lived. Every day we should give our lives to you, Father, and be ready to minister and reach out however you call us to in the course of that day. Because we realize, Lord, that every segment of 24 hours will never be repeated again. And so, Father, help us to make use, help us to make the best of every day that you give us to live. And Father, we thank you that also we look forward to a heavenly home that we will live forever there. And Father, we know that while we live there, it teaches us in the Bible, and I love these words, it says the servants will serve him. So somehow, Lord, in heaven above, we're going to have service to you. We're going to live to honor you and glorify you and serve you in some way when we live in the eternal days of heaven. A lot of the world pictures being in heaven as we float around on a cloud, and that's not what the Bible teaches us at all. The servants will serve him. So, Father, I pray that you will begin our lives of service, not when we get to heaven, but in these days on earth. Help us to serve you in this little slice of time that we have on earth, Father. I imagine if we talked to Nellie today in a personal way, she would say 100 years went by very, very quickly. That's true for every one of us, Father. The years of our lives go by so quickly. I pray that you will help us to use every day to its greatest benefit. Father, today, thank you for letting us be a people of prayer. Thank you that we can communicate to you any minute of the day or night and know beyond shadow of doubt that you're hearing us, that you're listening, and that you're willing to answer our prayers. And so, Father, in the few moments that we spend in silence today, I know that you heard many, many prayer concerns and joys expressed to you, Father. Thank you that you hear our prayers. We do pray in a special way for Pam Thomas, Lord. Just thank you for the foundation of the Christian faith that she learned right here at First Baptist Church Monroe. Pray a blessing on her today, Father. She is not doing well at UVA. And so, Lord, we pray the great physician ministers to her. We thank you for some of the best doctors on the East Coast of the United States working with her. But, Father, there's only one great physician, and we put her under your care, Father. We pray a blessing on her husband, Jay, and her daughter, Christina, Lord. And we pray a blessing on her mother. Lord, I know that she indeed is worried about her daughter, Lord. So we just ask that you take care of Pam and bless her, Father, in the way that only you can. And we thank you that you have heard every one of our prayer concerns, Lord, for people who need healing and strength and blessing. So, Father, thank you that you're our God who answers our prayers. Father, thank you that we honor you, we love you, we surrender to you as we come to worship. And we come, Lord, with hearts that are wide open to your will. Whenever we come to worship, whenever we open your word, we should be willing to follow however you lead us. We sing so easily, wherever he leads, I'll go. I pray that is true for every one of us, Father. And if you send us in a new direction, if you send us somehow in ministry that pushes us out of our comfort zones, help us, Father, to follow you wherever you lead. I pray we'll go. And so today, Father, we pray that you will bless us in this moment of worship. Bless those who are joining us online. We thank you for that beginning of a new ministry that people can worship with First Baptist Church Monroe in live time now. Father, that is a blessing. And we thank you for these guys in the booth who are making that happen right now. And so, Lord, we just pray that however we're worshiping, if it's online or if it's right here in person, Lord, that you will bless each one of us. We love you, we thank you, and we're grateful to be in your house today. In Jesus' name, amen. Since I have a spare minute, I have to tell you that song, which I had seen for the first time this morning, that song has a special place in my heart. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Gwen and I were newlyweds, so we were somewhere around 25, 26 years old, and she took me to her home church in Maryland, Indian Head, Maryland, and there was an older man there. Of course, to me, in that day, he was ancient. He was probably 70. I'm getting close now, ladies and gentlemen, so he's not ancient anymore. But anyway, this man stood up, and he sang that song as a solo, and it literally brought me to tears to hear this older man sing, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." But you know what? I have found that truth to absolutely be true, that the longer you give your life to him, the better it gets. Do I hear an amen to that?
Amen.
I have never in my life heard one person say, "I regret coming to Jesus as my Savior." I've never heard it, because we know that principle is absolutely true. The longer you serve him, the sweeter the service gets, and the sweeter your relationship with him gets. It should be growing every day, should be increasing and deepening every day. And as your relationship and my relationship with him grows, so will our depth of service to him. I'm preaching through the book of Philippians, and the reason I chose this book to go through with the church is because that is the principle of Philippians, that we're to entrust our lives to him, and we're to serve him, and we're to give ourselves to him in ministry. That was Paul's heart. Paul, of course, wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. It's the first church on the continent of Europe, and he and his mission team had established that church there. And he stayed with them for a period of time, but then he moved on in ministry, took him on back into Jerusalem. And as a preacher of the gospel, he was arrested in Jerusalem. He pled his case that he wanted to appeal to the Caesar because he was a Roman citizen. And so he was transported on to Rome. And so he sat under guard in a cell in Rome, waiting for his appeal to Caesar. However, at any moment, he also could be waiting on an executioner walking through that door and taking his life. But he wrote a letter to a church that he loved. He wrote several letters from the prison cell, but this one is a beautiful letter that he wrote to what I believe to be his favorite church, the church at Philippi. These people loved Paul, and Paul loved this church. He was 600 miles away, out of contact, and so he wrote this letter to show them how much he loved them, but also to teach them. But we are covering chapter 3 in these days that we share together. You know, I started preaching this book in November. Here we are in chapter 3. However, there are only 4 chapters, so we're getting close. We took a break over Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, so I'm taking you back now to the book of Philippians. It was written about 60-62 A.D. From Paul to Philippi. Where we are right now, as we open chapter 3 in the last sermon that I preached, Paul looked at his life. And Paul said, if the world looked at my life, they would see a good man. They would see a man of great worldly stature. And he gave his resume. He gave some of his credentials in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. He said, if you look at my credentials, you're going to see a full-blooded Jew. You're going to see a man who was from the choice tribe of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. I was a leader. I was a Pharisee. I'm educated. I have my doctorate. I'm very much a servant of God, and I'm zealous for God. I even killed Christians trying to wipe out the church because I was a super Jew. And he said, I was blameless in my service. By worldly standards, he thought he was doing well. And then he came to a turning point in his life. He met Jesus. And his life turned around, and he realized that all of his credentials meant nothing when he stared Jesus in the eye face to face. He met the Savior. He said, when I met Jesus as my Lord, all of my personal goodness and all of my credentials and all of my accomplishments faded away to nothing. Everything good that I had done faded in the light of his holiness and his glory as my Lord and as my Savior. All I've ever done is overshadowed by who Jesus is. And I gave my life to him. Paul teaches us a fact about our humility before God. Personally, all of my earthly accomplishments, whatever they have been, All of the degrees that hang on a wall, what little bit of wealth I have, all of that fades into the background when I fall before Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. He is the reason for living. He is the reason for getting up every day. He is the reason that I undeservedly stand in this pulpit today, a sinner handling the very precious Word of God. It is by His grace, not my talent, not by my personal calling to myself, but rather by His grace that I even have the ability to stand in this pulpit today. And I thank you, it's by His grace and your blessing that you allow me to be here. Not by how good I am. It's by how good He is and His call in my life. Everything we have done, all of our accomplishments of life fade into the background because it's not about us anymore. It's about Him and how He wants to use us and how He wants to take our lives and touch the world with His love through you and me. How He uses us as His children. So we pick up today, Paul is fairly graphic about how little earthly things mean to him. He says, all the stuff that I have on earth is worthless compared to the glory of living for Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we're going to look at two sections of Scripture. We'll cover them in two places. But I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look, first of all, at verses 8 through 12. I want you to hear these words from the book of Philippians, this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. So go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Actually, let's back up to verse 7 as I kind of carry on in Paul's thought here. Paul says this, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am perfect, already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Now we'll stop there. We're going to pick up there a little bit later on in the sermon. But let's think about those verses. Five verses. Actually, looking at those five verses, I want you to put a star by those verses that I just read in your Bible, because those five verses stand as the Bible's greatest statement of defining what is truly important to you and me. What is truly important to your life as a believer? Now, I do put that qualifier in. You have to be a believer. What is truly most important in the life of you and me as a Christian, as a believer, as brothers and sisters? This is the defining statement to tell us what should be most important to us. Paul says, my total worth, my total self-image is wrapped up in who Jesus is to me and His righteousness that is expressed in my life. Taking into account all of my credentials and all of my diplomas and all of my good works, I have done zero to make myself worthy before God. I have done nothing to earn life eternal. It's not what I have done, Paul says. Jesus is the one who's given me life. He's given me joy. He's given me purpose. He's given me ministry. Everything of my life comes back to the center of who Jesus is to me. Nothing else matters. It's who Jesus is to me. In fact, Paul's words are very graphic in verse 8. Look at Philippians 3, 8. He says this, more than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung so that I may gain Christ. Well, my prayer this morning is I don't have to explain to you what that one word means. You know what the word dung means. In fact, the Greek word here is the word skubalon, and it means either excrement from an animal or a human, or it can mean something that's left over that's trash for the garbage heap. Skubalon can mean either one of those two things. I think Paul's intention was really the first one. But here's what Paul is saying. He's not shy to make his point whatsoever. He said, if your work, if your worldly job is more important than Jesus, it is skubalon. It's trash. If something in the world takes your heart and you worship that thing rather than letting Jesus sit on the throne of your heart, that is skubalon. If the money in your bank account means more to you than worshiping Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's skubalon. It's trash. It's dung. And it's worthless. Paul said, everything in my life is trash compared to worshiping and living for my Savior who gives me life. So really, here's the question for every one of us. What does this scripture bring us to? What's really important to you and me? What really makes up our life? What really do we live for? Well, we know the point of this scripture to say our life is to be centered in loving and worshiping and following Jesus Christ as our Master and our Lord and our Savior and our friend. That's what this scripture is all about. It points us back to the true reality of what truly is important in the believer's life. Everything else of life falls under the umbrella of knowing and serving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Many people in the world say the most important thing in my life is my wife or my husband, my children, my grandchildren. They are important to me. All of those things are important to me. But if they're going to be of utmost importance and I do my best job as a husband and a father and a grandfather, the best way I can love my wife and love my children and love my grandchildren is to love Jesus first. That's the umbrella under which all of our other relationships will be their best. Everybody, can I hear an amen?
Amen?
It is absolutely true. Loving Him first and foremost is the umbrella that makes all of our other relationships better and right and growing. That's the simple message of the Bible. Look at verse 9. Philippians 3, 9. Be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. The day is going to come when the only thing that matters in your life and my life is the faith that we have in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There will come a day when we're going to face God, and His ultimate question to us is, have you had faith in my Son? And I know that day is coming because the Bible tells us so. It tells us in several places, but here's one place that tells us we're going to face God one day. It's in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. It simply says, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Someone who was on the younger side said to me, won't that take a long time for all the billions of people who have ever lived to give an account of themselves to God individually? And I said, yes, it takes all the time, but God has all the time He needs. Every one of us individually will stand before God Almighty. The Bible teaches us that over and over again. And the main point of our life is, have you had faith in my Son? And that is the dividing line between an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. There's no sugarcoating it. That is exactly what the Bible says. And I know Pastor Glenn agrees with me. It's what the Bible says. So faith in Christ, according to Paul, is the most important moment of our life, that we give our life to Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that when we stand before God in His magnificent, shining, indescribable holiness, He will say, I don't see your sin, because I see my Son. He has forgiven you through His cross. There's nothing that you and I can offer. You know, I love the hymn, Rock of Ages. It's one of my favorite hymns. And it says, nothing in my hand I bring to get forgiveness. It's only by Jesus Christ as Savior. So we know that we are sinners. Romans 3:23 tells us that. And one single sin, a sin of the mind, a sin of the mouth, a sin of the heart, a sin of our hands, will keep us from heaven. One sin creates the wall between us and God. But Jesus broke that wall down through the cross and through the empty tomb. But remember, without Jesus, without the Savior, Isaiah 64:6 burns in our minds, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. One sin keeps us from the gates of glory. So our forgiveness, our place before God, cannot rest on our goodness, but rather it rests on the sacrifice and the life of Jesus Christ as our Savior. Okay, let's take a breather here for a second. That's heavy theology. I've laid it on you today, but it is the truth, and we need to hear the truth. But here's the logical conclusion of this point of Scripture. Paul is saying we cannot earn our way to forgiveness. We cannot work our way to heaven. We can't pay our way to heaven. It is a gift of grace that comes through Jesus Christ. John 14:6 is absolutely true, that He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one will come to the Father but by Him. There's the truth. Okay, so let me ask you this. Does that mean when I'm saved, when you and I are saved, does that mean that we just sit down and wait for heaven to come? Is that our task? Absolutely not. You know, I'll never forget, years ago, my mother had a friend, and I was a boy, and I heard my mother talking on the phone, and when Mom hung up the phone, she said, I called Mrs. So-and-so and asked her how she was doing, and you know what she said to me? I said, no, what did she say? She said, I'm just sitting here waiting on the wagon. I don't know what she meant by that, really, but that's kind of stuck in my head. There are a lot of Christians who believe, I've bought my ticket to heaven now. I have Jesus as my Savior, so now all I need to do is sit down and wait on the wagon to come and take me. And that's not our attitude whatsoever. That's not our future, to take a seat and just hang out and wait till we're called up to heaven. That's not what we're called to do through forgiveness. The believer's life is not just to sit down and wait it out. The believer's life is not just to come and take up space on a church pew and then leave and do nothing. The believer's life is to surrender to Him in service. And every one of us has a gift of talents in our lives that we can surrender to Him. And my talents are different from yours, but we know that we're not to waste our days. When we know Him as our Savior, we give Him our days. We make our life productive. He looks for fruit from a productive tree. And He's looking for fruit in your life and my life. Okay, let's look at verses 12 through 16. Paul says, not that I've already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying here, by no means am I a perfect man. I still deal with my own sin. Paul was just as human as you and I are human. But he said, every day I desire to grow in my perfect service to Jesus as my Savior. I want to grow there. I want to improve every day. I want to be more like Jesus every day. You know, the great saying that we need to remember is, I want to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. I want to be more like Jesus tomorrow than I am today. It's a pathway of growth. The fancy word is sanctification. We grow in knowing Christ as Savior. But I want you again, look at verse 13. I love what he says here in these words, in the middle of verse 13, really. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. If you write in your Bible, underline the word prize. It's a very important word in that passage of Scripture. He's working for the prize. One thing I do, Paul says. Paul had whittled his life down to one point, to one reason for living. And that was he wanted to live for the high calling of Jesus in his life. He'd accepted the truth that his past had been forgiven and forgotten. You remember, Paul was not a very nice guy back in his Jewish days. Of course, in those days, his name was Saul. But you remember that he lived a rather rough life as a Jewish leader, a Pharisee, in that he sent Christians to prison. He burned down church houses. He oversaw the killing of children of God. And I believe that Paul thought himself to be, he wrote it to Timothy, he thought himself to be the world's greatest sinner. I believe he literally saw himself as the world's greatest sinner. And he had to put his past in the past in order to look forward in serving Jesus. You know, the past can overshadow your future. You know that? Your past can overshadow who you can be in the future. As a pastor, I have heard so many people over four decades in ministry say, I can't serve Jesus well because in my past I did drugs. Or in my past I was an alcoholic. Or in my past I had scrapes with the law, spent some time in prison. I've lived a life that's so far out of God's will, I've been an awful parent in my past. So that doesn't allow me to be a servant in the future. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when Jesus forgives you, he erases your past. I love the verse in Psalm 103 that says, when God forgives us our iniquity, that he removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. Somebody explained that to me one time. Said, you know, if it said north and south, if you travel north and south, when you travel south far enough, you'll come back to north. You'll always come back to north. You'll always come back down to south. But you can't travel east and ever get west. You can never travel west and ever get back to east. When God forgives you, he forgives you as far as the east is from the west. He erases your past and frees you to a future. When Jesus forgives you, it is his unique ability to obliterate everything of your past. So he frees you to serve him in your future. You know, my dad was a little weird in a lot of ways. We won't get into that. I heard Gwen laugh louder than any of you because she knew him. But one of the things, you know, when we were kids, my sister and I, when we were kids, you know, there was no such thing as seat belts in a car. There were bench seats, you know, and when Patty and I, my sister and I, would sit on the bench seat in the back of Dad's big old Galaxy 500, we would love to turn around and get on our knees and look out the back glass. And Dad had a saying, and he said it every time he saw us do that. He would say, don't look where you've been. Look where you're going. In other words, turn around and get in your seat right. But he said that without exception, every time we look backwards, Dad would say, don't look where you've been. Look where you're going. And that is precisely what this passage of Scripture says. Jesus forgives us. Jesus obliterates our past, so look forward to where he's taking us as a church and as the people of God and as individual brothers and sisters in Christ. As we think about those words, I want you to think about verse 14. I'm getting close to the end here. Just listen, bear with me, stay with me here. Verse 14. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I'm pursuing a prize. Now listen, this is very, very important. When you're saved, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's not a prize. That's a gift. And in faith, you just stand still and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't have a case to plead. I'm a sinner. But I believe that through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for me and rising from the grave for me, that you will forgive me and promise me eternal life with you. And I'm standing here, Lord, naked before you. You know everything about my life. And I ask you by your grace to forgive me. And he promises whoever comes before him will never be turned away. And he gives you and me the gift of salvation. It's a gift of grace. You can't earn it. You're not worthy of it. Neither am I. Can't pay your way there. It's a gift. But then Paul mentions a prize that we run for. We pursue serving the Savior who gave us the gift of salvation. You know, Paul, of course, wrote to Philippi here, but he had been in Ephesus in his life. And in Ephesus, there was a 100,000-seat amphitheater where the Olympian Games ran. And he'd watched runners many times, I'm sure, in that amphitheater, pursuing the finish line. And Paul saw his life as running the race, pursuing the finish line to serve Jesus well. After he had received the gift of salvation, we know that indeed he ran the prize of serving his Savior. So, brothers and sisters, here's the end of the sermon today. You and I have received the gift, but will you run for the prize? Will you surrender your life to Him and serve Him? Give your life to Him that the rest of our days we're pursuing service to the King and giving ourselves to Him. You know what we're really pursuing? When we run for the prize, what are we pursuing? Two words. When we meet Jesus face to face, what are the two words? Well done. That's our prize. That's our prize. So as we come today, praise God, we have that prize that we're running for. Also today, if you are here and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're watching live online today for the first time. If you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, remember, this service is now accessed all over the world today. There might be people watching us today, participating in worship in other countries of the world. And my prayer is that will continue to grow in days to come. That our worldwide audience, our worldwide congregation is a better word, will join us for worship. But if there's one person out there somewhere watching us and we don't know that name, we don't even know the country, this invitation is just the same for someone sitting here in the sanctuary. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He has a gift that He wants to give to you. And the gift is forgiveness of your past and forgiveness of your sin. And He opens up your life to serve Him and love Him and share ministry with this world through His strength and talent in your life. I believe all of us have talents, but those talents are never enacted or empowered until Jesus becomes our Savior. Then we can use them for Him. If you've never given your heart to Him, this is the moment that you can say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior. So every one of us has a decision to make today. I need salvation as my gift, or I'm laying down my life to my Savior, running for the prize to serve Him. Church home, whatever you need, He meets us right here in these moments. Let's pray together. Our Father, our God, in these closing moments of a worship service, we thank You, Lord, that You have given each one of us as believers the gift of salvation and grace. Lord, thank You that You have obliterated my past. There's a lot there, Lord, that I would be ashamed for You to have to dig back up. But I thank You that it is gone, that it's been buried, never to be brought up again. We thank You, Father, that while we remember so many things of the past, You say it is a holy characteristic that You can forget our past. And You do the moment You forgive us. Thank You for that gift. Maybe there's someone here or someone who's watching today who simply needs to say, Lord Jesus, I need You as my Savior. And I want to lay down my life before You and ask You to save me, forgive me, adopt me as Your son or daughter. And Lord, promise me a home in heaven because You have given me the gift of salvation. I pray for that one to make that response known today. Father, today I pray that there are brothers and sisters right here, including me, who will say, Lord Jesus, I want to run for the prize. I want to give my life to You. I want to minister to You and for You. Lord, I want to give my life to touch the lives of other people, beginning in my own family, at my own dinner table. Help me, Lord, to run for the prize of showing Jesus to my family. Help me when I walk in the world to run for the prize of showing Jesus to those who need you. I pray, Father, you'll help me run for the prize as I'm a minister in my church family. Help us, Father, to lay down our lives to you as brothers and sisters in Christ and promise you that we'll run for the prize of one day hearing two words, well done. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your grace and your blessing. Someone needs a church home, whatever need they have, this is the moment, Father. We can meet you in a moment of decision. We love you. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lead us in a hymn.
Let's stand and sing hymn 517, I'd Rather Have Jesus.
Yeah, let's have a prayer over her and a benediction. my enemies. I thank you, Lord, for